For those that are not ready, it's time to be ready. There's always, you may be seated. There's always a difference between getting ready and being ready. Amen. 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 To senior pastor, Pastor Gunter, all the other associates, Brown and Higgins, to Pastor Anthony York, to all the wives of the respective servants, to all the officers of New Divine, to all my family. Anybody here related to me? Yeah. All my family members, brothers and sisters. Are we brothers and sisters? I accept word in name, greetings in the name of Jesus. Last week I intended to be here, last weekend, and I told your sister that I want to just bring a surprise, but I didn't get here last week. But I'm here this today, and we'll be here for a few days with you. And thank you, Sister Alicia, for praying for me. Pastor Gunter assured me that he was praying and you were praying for me. Is that right, Pastor G? I've learned a few things about praying people. That is, they are never easy to criticize people. But they are rather encouraging people. Did I just say that? You sure you heard me? Okay. Now, I spoke with Pastor Brown because I want to know how long you were in this building. And he told me it's about 16 years. About 16. 16 years ago, I was here. 16 years ago, I was here in your convention when you came into this building. I had two young men with me. One played drum and one played keyboard. Anybody was here 16 years ago? Anybody remember those two young men? The neighbor called the police. Now they were making too much happy noise in the house. Or maybe they didn't call the police. I think they complained to you that they were calling too much. You know, it's those two young men are grown. It's good to see another young man in church playing. Amen. Amen. And he sort of reminded me of that young man 16 years ago who was playing. Amen. You know me? Amen. So since you have prayed for me and we are in convention, your theme is certainly a worthy theme and yet challenging. Pastor York could have enjoyed himself. When I was younger, there's a song that I believe most of you would have heard. It says that the way to be happy is to make others happy and to have a little heaven down here. But as I grow older, there's a song that we used to sing. I think you still sing it. It said, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross, my Savior made me whole. My sins were and my night, for heaven came down and glory fills my soul. Amen. Amen. So the person of heaven is Jesus, and Jesus brought heaven down, and we who receive Jesus can truly testify that heaven is a reality to us. Amen. Amen. Now, I believe you read the scripture earlier. I was a little bit late. Luke 16 is where we are coming from. That's the text for the convention. And I'll try my best to be true to the text. Good to see Deaconess Gwen in the house. Amen. Amen. Maybe there are others from Faith where I don't see Sister Anna is here, but I grew up in Faith country. Yes. Amen. And I thank God for people like those who have helped me over the years, prayed for me and encouraged me. Amen. Is anybody with me? Amen. So let's look at the first three verses of the text, Luke 16. See if we can sort of deal with those three verses tonight, because we have some work to do for the other sessions. Amen. Amen. Verse 19 of chapter 16, the Gospel of St. Luke says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Can I hear you say every day? Amen. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. And 21 said, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs. Can I hear you say crumbs? Which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sore. The word of the God is already blessed. I have to gain, and I hell to show. I believe as we begin this convention that we are already positioned and have already made arrangements for our future destination. But there are still some who are not yet persuaded or fully persuaded. My prayer is that as we progress, Sister Dimpers, I see you, there will be some serious soul searching and some solid decisions that will be made as to where we'll have our final home or a place of permanent residence. Amen. I'm hoping that we'll be able to make some comparison regarding these two places, heaven and hell, and draw from our text some fundamentals that should challenge us as to the decisions that we have made and are making, and how these scriptural facts will shape our lives here and now. For how we live here will determine where we live in the future, be it heaven or hell. Just for clarity, since I'm speaking of places, heaven or hell, our texts clearly state that these are places. I think I hear Pastor G saying it's not something of our mental figment of our imagination. It's not because of man's curiosity, nor was it concocted by some religious zealot. It is not a figment of a man's imagination. But these are places spoken to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Can I just remind us that Jesus Christ is God? And the Bible said that God cannot lie. Amen. Amen. God cannot lie. And he spoke concerning these two places, heaven and hell. I don't believe that when God in Christ spoke of heaven or hell, he spoke of them as to flatter us. He did not use flattery. He was not today's politician. I don't believe that he did it to scare us, but to give us a correct understanding of what our final future can be, will be, based upon the decisions that we make. Heaven or hell. See, I believe that man is an eternal being. And we will all enjoy eternal bliss and fellowship with God our creator, or suffer or live in anguish with the tormentor and the enemy of our souls. Can I just remind us that the devil is still a liar? He is still the father of lies. He is still the god of this age. He is still the accuser of the brethren. He is still a thief. He is still a robber. And though he seeks to mimic God in many ways and even come as an angel of light, his mission is to destroy us eternally. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Can I just say that as we seek to understand these two places, that it is of paramount importance that we choose heaven over hell. I'm going to say it one more time. That we choose heaven over hell. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, Paul declares that there are three heavens. Three heavens. In our conversation, we will consider the third heaven. The third heaven is where God lives. I'm talking about the triune God. I'm talking about the sovereign God. I'm talking about the omnipotent God. The only potentate. The only one who is truly king and truly Lord. I'm talking about a place above earth that is not tarnished by sin. There's no corruption. There's no deception. But all is beauty and peace. A place where God lives, where he rules and where he reigns. I hear the word of the Lord saying that heaven is his throne. Heaven is his throne. You and I should be excited as believers that we have a King of Kings, and we are invited to come to the throne room of God. And the Bible said we can come boldly. Can I speak to somebody in the house? We can come boldly. We don't need bulls. We don't need any heifers. We don't need any turtle doves. We don't need any other blood of any animal. Jesus paid it all. He opened the way to heaven. He becomes an high priest eternal. And you and I now are invited, who are washed in the blood of Jesus, to come boldly. Did I say boldly? Without any fear. To the throne room of God. Heaven is his throne. He lives there. And whether we like it, yes, or like it, no, one of these days, all of earth will bow. And the King of Glory, the King of Glory, will be known as truly the King of Glory. Amen. You see, I believe that God is a great architect, a great designer, and he's a great businessman. And all that we see and will ever see, God designed. Sin might have corrupted it, but it's beautiful as God designed it. And heaven is a place of beauty. And I hope as we move along, I'll be able to share with you the extraordinary beauty of heaven. Exquisite in all its wonders. Heaven is a beautiful place. Pastor Anthony, heaven is a beautiful place. Pastor Brown, heaven is a beautiful place. Pastor Higgins, heaven is a beautiful place. And I was thinking about beauty the other day, Pastor G. And I tell myself that all of us like beauty. All of us. You know, when I go to the Walmart with my grandson, every now and then I observe him looking at what he believes is beauty. Heaven is a beautiful. Can I hear you say that? But hell is a ugly place. Hell is a ugly place. Again, I want to say it's a place. Jesus said it is a place. The comforting text of John 14, Jesus himself said, in my Father's house there are, for I go to prepare a, but where I am, I want you to be there. Did he say he goes to prepare a place? That where I am, you shall be also. Amen. God in Christ Jesus had made preparation for those who accept him as Lord and serve him as Savior to be with him in the place called heaven. In the place called heaven. In Matthew 24:41, Jesus himself speaking, he says, hell is a prepared place. Heaven is a prepared place. Hell is also a prepared place. And Jesus says in Matthew 24:41 that the place that is called hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Can I just say that the Bible did not say it was prepared for man? Mankind is not angelic beings. Angels are not man. And Jesus says that hell is a prepared place for the devil and his angels. Jesus went on to say it's a place of everlasting fire. Prepared. But sadly, unless man repent, man will go to a place prepared for the devil. Is anybody following me? Unless man repent, he is going headlong into a place prepared for the devil and his angels. According to Matthew 13:42, there are some people that will be thrown into hell. King James Version used the word cast. They'll be cast into hell. It's not a pretty picture. Can I say it again? It's not a pretty picture to throw somebody into a place of everlasting fire. Like C.S. Lewis, I believe that those who go to hell or are cast into hell will be there because of their own choice and decision. I believe that. The well-known chapter 3 of John 16 through 18 says, for God loves the world, the people of the world. People born and made in the image and likeness of God. God love mankind. Even when mankind is unlovable, God loves mankind. And whether we like it, yes, I like it, no, Pastor G, we can't change God loves for us. That's the kind of love that you and I can never really conjure up, because we don't know truly what love is until we know God. For God is love. His nature is love. He's a God whose heart is love. All of God is about love. And when mankind is perishing because of sin, God in love expressed his love in his only begotten son and send him to become like us. So we who are bound for hell can change direction and become children of heaven. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes cannot perish, will not perish, but will have life eternal. I don't see myself walking around as somebody who is afraid of dying physically, because in me is the life of God. And the life of God cannot die. When they tried to kill Jesus, Jesus said, you don't have power. But I have power to lay down, and I have power to raise it up again. My Father gave me this commandment. But a time came that he recognized that he had to die, not because he tried not to, but he had to. Had he not, where would I be? Had he not, where would you be? We would be going straight to hell. But the love of God is of such that God designed it, that he would give his only begotten son, that you and I can gain all of heaven and shun all of. He recognized the danger. He recognized the destructing elements of hell. He recognized that once you get to hell, you are totally and completely separated from God. You will never be able to enjoy anything called beauty. And so he came down, lived among us, could not sin because he's God. But the Bible said he became sin. The great substitute. It took my place. And so while he did not sin, he took upon himself sin. For he was the Lamb of God, destined to remove, to take away the sin of the whole world. And in that love expression, the Bible said he came not to condemn the world. Can I hear you say, not to condemn? Not to condemn the world, but of the world through him might know salvation, might know deliverance, might know being rescued from the pit of hell. The world through him might be saved. And verse 18, I believe, we'll find it and read it. John 3:16, verse 18, I believe, say it this way, and this is the condemnation. That's not verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. So I am one of those that believe that it's based upon my decision, whether I believe or disbelieve, that I'll be in hell or in heaven. Wherever I will spend my final destiny. I believe it's up to me. God did what he had to do. And he's still making an appeal now. I hope we'll be able to talk about a message from hell. Because the message from hell actually said, don't come to hell. That's what it says, don't come to hell. I have five brothers down here. Tell them not to come here. Don't come from it. I don't believe anybody went to hell, Pastor York, and come back. If you don't, you're not coming back. You're staying down there. All those who write books and want you to buy them, the Bible says if you go to hell, you're staying down there. God so loved. Thank God for the love of Jesus. Can I get a bless your name, Jesus? Thank God. Is anybody here blessed for the love of Jesus? Sometimes I testify to my co-workers and I said, I don't know some things that God saved me from, but I'm so glad that he saved me. Young man. Let's say young man. 16 years old. Yes. Just about to do GCE. Yes. Another young man who knows me for some time. And I won't call a name because Sister Gwen and Sister Dimples and Sister Anna know him. He says to me, it's about time you change your life. Young man took me to Pastor R. E. Lee. Talk to me. Thursday, May 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 19 something something. The love of God. The love of God. Oh, there's a heaven to get. The love of God. The love of God. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Jesus. The love of God. The love of God. The love of God. The Bible says that God's heart to mankind is that none should perish, but all. All. It is not on God's heart that anybody should go to hell. Because again, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And because God's art is that none should go to hell, God's heart is that he's going to do everything that he can do to make sure that man can shun hell and embrace heaven. The word gain from our theme speaks to that which is profitable. So those in the financial sector, you don't do things to lose. You do things to gain. If you have money, you put it in the bank with the hope that you could gain. If you buy a house and it has equity and you want to sell it, you believe that you will. Is there anybody in the house that want to lose? Stay seated. Amen. Amen. Nobody wants to to lose. Everybody wants to gain. And I'm so glad we don't have any losing heart kind of people here tonight. We have people who wants to, amen. Touch your neighbor and say, it's not time to sleep. I want to gain. It's profitable to serve God. And while you and I may not know what all of heaven is like yet, we will get an idea what heaven looks like when we get to the book of Revelation. And we'll understand that heaven is a great place to be. One of the greatest reasons why heaven is so great is because God lived here. Oh God. And we are God His. You can't want to find another better company. Lord Jesus. Let me move from the text a little bit since this comes to mind, because I don't know if any of us have actually studied Enoch. Old Testament brother. For many years, he had a relationship with God. Such a beautiful relationship that one day he was having a walk again. And I submit to you that Enoch's walk was unique. But can I tell you that the walk that we have with Jesus is even more precious? And the man walk in fellowship with God. Don't forget, Amos asked the question, can two walk together unless they... So Enoch and God was in a... Come on, talk to me, somebody. Enoch and God was in a... Come on, talk to me, somebody. Enoch and God was in a... When we are in agreement with God, our walk with God will be pleasing to, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. And so as he walked with God, God says, it's time to bring about a transformation or a translation. We don't know much about him except we know that he was a prophet. And he prophesied years ago that God is going to come back with 10,000 of his angels. Lord Jesus, to bring his chosen people to a prepared place called heaven. And those who reject him will go to another place called hell. But heaven is a place to gain. You can't lose. You can't lose. If you go in the stock market and you lose your money, if you're not careful, some people, because their money is their God, they will kill themselves. But believers don't do that, because money is not their God. Oh, God. And he walks with me. And we talk together. And he tells me. And the joy we share. As we fellowship there, none other. Gain is to be profitable. Something desirable. None of us want to lose. What does it profit a man? My first preaching message at Miracle Tabernacle, Pastor R.G. Miller. 5 minutes. Way back in the 70s. Pastor Danny Henry and I and a few other guys, we journeyed from Claremont to St. Anne's Bay. Pastor Ari Lee, Pastor R.G. Miller, and they were engaging us. I believe on the other side, Pastor H.L. was doing his thing. But on our side, we have a few. Bless God for those men. But thank God that they were able to impart into us. Is anybody with me? And they may not live to know that what they did for us has great reward, but they believe that if they started something, they would see some profit. They didn't want to lose. And they were in eternal and godly business. And when you're in eternal godly business, you can't lose. None of us want to lose. There's an event to gain. Amen. The word shun in our theme indicates something to avoid. Paul to Timothy, shun. Shun. It is a call to make every effort. It's a call to make sure that we make a decision based upon all the energy that we have to avoid it. Again, I'll say it, hell is not a pretty place. So we have to make every effort. We have to muster up every strength. We have to make a correct decision and correct decisions not to go there. In reading this text of Luke 16, for some, it is considered a parable. For some, it is considered a parable. And theologians have good reasons to believe it's a parable. But I'm going to take it from your perspective, Pastor Brown, that it's not a parable, it's a real account. No, I'm not debating with you. I'm just telling you I'm going to take it from that perspective. That's okay? So if you want to say it's a parable, I have no problem. I'm just going to take it from the perspective. It's a real story. In most parables, you don't hear people giving names. Even though Lazarus could be a name to identify a certain character. Because the name means God helps. And if you ever find yourself in this Lazarus situation, the only person that can truly help you . So we have two individuals in this text. We have a rich man, and Jesus didn't give him a name. His life tells his story. With a rich man, Jesus never gave him a name. Theologians call him Dives, Latin word Dives. The Bible said his clothing spoke of his wealth. He was wealthy. Not only was he well dressed, but he had the best food every single day. Can I suggest to you that he wasn't eating what I ate? I can only speak of myself. He had the best. And he had more than enough. The man clearly lived a wealthy life. A rich man. And then we have a poor man. And the contrast is between these two individuals. A wealthy individual who had everything that he needed in this life. Can I hear you say this life? Sometimes we don't think about the next life, Pastor. You with me? We think about this life and we spend a whole heap of time doing everything that we need to do in this life without thinking that there is another. But as sure as night follow day and day follow night, as sure as the sun will come out after the storm, there is another life. And so he enjoyed all that the world could offer him in this life. I don't know if anybody here lived like that. He dressed well. He wore the most expensive clothing. He ate well. He had the best of the best, if there's anything called the best of the best. And the Bible said this other man, Jesus called him Lazarus. The Bible said that he was a beggar. Most of us don't like to beg. Come on to church, I struggle to beg in church. They say in church. I'm talking about the church folks, you know. I struggle to beg in church. It just seems to be a problem to just beg church folks. Most of us don't like beggars. Not you. If you live where I live, you'll see them all the time. Yeah, some are professional. Yeah, professional. I don't know about here. I see one up the road this morning, looked like he wasn't too bad, and he's a young man, and he could go and work, and he was begging. So I don't know if he's a professional, he really needed help. But I've had some experience with some beggars that I tell you, they're unique. Very unique. But this man was a true beggar. Let's look at him for a little moment. The Bible says that he laid at a rich man's gate. It is suggestive that this beggar could not walk. It is very possible, Pastor G, that somebody had to bring him there. If somebody brought him there, somebody then, I'm going to use a word we don't like to use, somebody then had pity. Did I say pity? If somebody brought him there, somebody had pity on him. Well, if he was crippled, he couldn't walk. Whoever brought him there with the notion that this rich man had the ability to help him. Be careful how we live. God, there is a life after this. Or maybe he was just so hungry till he's weak. So physically weak that he could not stand. So he laid. He had the strength to ask for. Observe, the Bible said that he was asking for what left. You recall what left? Crumbs. No, it is said that crumbs then was, the way they dined was that they used their hands to eat with. And so what they did not want is what was left over from what they did not use. Very often in our day, we want a doggy bag. But in that era, he had so much that even the dogs seemed to have enough. Not only was he physically hungry, and none of us here, I believe, have experienced hunger until we are so weak. And if any, we get to the place we are so hungry, God help us. Thank God we live in a country that if you want something, you can, somebody will help you. But I'm serious. Because if you ever feel hungry, you know what? You just want to just give up. And But Lazarus had the knowledge that there's something about living, something about life, that even when things are bad, did I say bad? I mean really, really bad, that if you have the gift of life, there is hope. He had to communicate something to this rich man, or to be in a better place physically here. The Bible said he was filled with sores. I want to promise you, brothers and sisters, Pastor G, this is not going to be one of those pretty texts to preach on. It's not pretty. Yeah. And we don't use some words like what the world tend to use that we don't normally use in church, like hell no. You ever hear that before? Have you ever heard people say heaven yes? You hear them say hell no, right? Hell no. Even they know that hell isn't supposed to be no. Hell no. And so we'll find that this man is physically weak because he's hungry, but also he's very likely in a lot of physical pain. When I think of this young man or brother, I want to call him a brother because he's in heaven. He's in heaven, right? When I think of this brother Lazarus, I want to imagine that Job must have gone through some stuff that he was going through. And since he was in fellowship with Jesus, it is very likely he would have learned about Job's situation and understand that in his plight, there is a need for patience. For when patience has its full course, patience is going to produce something different in us. One of those things is called character.
Oh, Jesus.
We may not experience the freedom from the physical conditions, but in our hearts of hearts, because we're in relationship with God, it builds character. It speaks of the fact that we are able to trust God with anything and everything. And we're not bowing to hell's demands, because heaven is to be gained in spite of what we are going through. So he's a beggar, but he's not bowing to the hellish device around him. And so while he's asking for crumbs, the worthless, the leftover, to just satisfy him physically, some dog shows up and had pity on him. Now, I just want to believe that those dogs know what good food was all about. But there's something about this brother that the dogs were moved. Can I use the word to minister to him? To bring a little coolness to his physical. Because the dog tongue is coolness, you know. Mm-hmm. They're not my friends, but I hear that their dog. So they brought a little coolness to his physical distress. 9:30. Thank you. Time for you to go. And so the Bible says that when the dogs did that, it brings some relief. Anybody in pain that don't want to be released? Lazarus wanted to. The problem we have here, brothers and sisters, is that Lazarus understood, I believe, since his name means God help, he understood what I believe that what David said in Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes. From whence come? My help comes from who makes what? So he understood that God can use this rich man to supply his physical needs. He can't supply his spiritual needs, but he can supply his physical needs. And because he had a physical need, he sat at a gate that the man who was rich was able to do something about it, but the rich man did nothing about it because he was self-centered and conceited. But observe that the rich man did not drive him away. He did not. He did not curse him. He did not instruct his servants to arrest him. As disgusting as his person would have been at the rich man's gate, he did not do those things. But can I say to you, brothers and sisters, there are some things that we don't have to do, but there seem some things that when we do them, they tend to have a more emotional impact. And while he was not driven away, he was ignored. When my wife tried to speak to me and I tend to be busy, she claimed that I am not listening to her. She feels I'm ignoring her. And sometimes she will elevate her voice. And I said, why are you raising your voice for? She said, I'm talking to you, not hearing. She felt that I was just, it's not good to be ignored. Pastor G, I don't know if Sister G ever tell her that you're ignoring her. She's making a statement. Pastor Anthony, I don't know if any of your wife ever tell you that you're ignoring her. I don't know. No, you don't answer. She's making a statement. Oh, yes. They are making statements. When the children are communicating to you and you're not listening, and they tend to want to walk off because they say you're not listening, they're making a statement. This poor man was ignored. I just want to stop here for tonight because sometimes I think that's what we do with God. We ignore him. He's not going anyplace. He's there all the time. He's there exactly where he is. He's lovingly appealing to us, and we just ignore him. The Bible never said anything about Lazarus responding to what the rich man did, ignored him. Except when we move on, we're going to find that the Bible said the boy died. But to be ignored is not a beautiful thing. Somebody feels as if they are unimportant. They feel as if they are not being taken seriously. They feel as if their presence is of no value. And I feel as though Lazarus felt that even though he was not getting the crumbs he was asking for, even though the rich man did not chase him away, yet he was ignored. Because he lay there, he could not hang his head in shame and walk away. But there's a heaven to gain. In this convention, your 6th, 7th, 18th, are we ignoring God? Are we? See, there is another world, and there is another life. How we live does impact where we live. And nobody, I've never met one person yet, Pastor Higgins, who want to go to hell. I've heard about people who want to go. But if they truly understand hell, they don't want to go. There's a brother in the Old Testament who felt he was in hell. Jonah. He felt he was in hell. And his hell was a fish belly.
Ah, Jesus.
Say, God, from hell I am screaming out to you. I don't like where I'm at in this fish belly, God. I know I'm here because I choose to disobey you. But God, give me a second chance. And God said, I hear you. Throw him out on the seashore. But can I tell you, the account of Luke chapter 16 is not like that. If you go there, you're not coming back. If you go there, you want to send a report back, but the report ain't coming back. If you go there, your life will be miserable. And who like misery? Ignoring Lazarus had great emotional impact. Ignoring the help that God, again, his name means God help, right? Ignoring the help that comes to your gate, that comes from God, has great implications. There's an heaven to gain. Don't ignore God's help. Amen.